Chitraketu said, "Oh, unconquerable Lord, although you cannot be conquered by anyone, you are certainly conquered by devotees who have control of the mind and senses. They can keep you under their control because you are causelessly merciful to devotees who desire no material profit from you. Indeed, you give yourself to them, and because of this, you have also full control over your devotees." Purport: the Lord and the devotees both conquer. The Lord is conquered by the devotees, and the devotees are conquered by the Lord. Because of being conquered by one another, they both derive transcendental bliss from their relationship. The highest perfection of this mutual conquering is exhibited by Krishna and the gopis. The gopis conquered Krishna, and Krishna conquered the gopis. Thus, whenever Krishna played his flute, he conquered the minds of the gopis. And without seeing the gopis, Krishna could not be happy. Other transcendentalists, such as jnanis and yogis, cannot conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only pure devotees can conquer him. Pure devotees are described as samamati, which means they never deviate from devotional service under any circumstances. It is not that devotees worship the Lord only when happy. They worship him even when in distress. Happiness and distress do not hamper the process of devotional service. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says that devotional service is a haitukiya pratihata, unmotivated and uninterrupted. When a devotee offers devotional service to the Lord without any motive, anyabhilashita sunyam, his service cannot be hampered by any material condition, a pratihata. Thus, a devotee who offers service in all conditions of life can conquer Supreme Personality of Godhead. A special distinction between devotees and other transcendentalists, namely the jnanis and yogis, is that jnanis and yogis artificially try to become one with the Supreme, whereas devotees never aspire for such an impossible accomplishment. Devotees know that their position is to be eternally servants of the Supreme Lord and never to be one with him. Therefore, they are called samamati or jitatma. They detest oneness with the Supreme. They have no lusty desires for oneness. Instead, their desire is to be free from all material hankering. Therefore, they are called nishkam, desireless. A living entity cannot exist without desires, but desires that can never be fulfilled are called kama, lusty desires. Kamaistaistar hitagyana. Because of lusty desires, non-devotees are deprived of their intelligence. Thus, they are unable to conquer the Supreme Lord. Whereas devotees, being freed from such unreasonable desires, can conquer the Lord. Such devotees are also conquered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they are pure, being free from all material desires, they fully surrender to the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Lord conquers them. Such devotees never aspire for liberation. They simply desire to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. Because they serve the Lord without desires for remuneration, they can conquer the mercy of the Lord. Lord is by nature very merciful. And when he sees that his servant is working without desires for material profit, naturally he is conquered. Devotees are always engaged in service. Savai mana Krishna padaravindaya changsi vaikunta gunanuvarnane. All the activities of their senses are engaged in the service of the Lord. Because of such devotion, the Lord gives himself to his devotees as if they could use him for any purpose they might desire. Of course, devotees have no purpose other than to serve. When a devotee fully surrenders and has no aspiration for material profit, the Lord certainly gives him all opportunities for service. This is the position of the Lord when conquered by his devotees. Mukam karati vachalam pangum lankete girin yakipam tamaham vande si gurum dinatavinam. Om agyana timirandasya gyananjara shalakaya chakshurminitam yena tasamai si gurave namaha. So there is a competition between Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Who will conquer who? And the competition is based on love. Who will love the other one more? Will Krishna love his devotees more, or will the devotees love Krishna more? Who will serve the other one more? Will Krishna serve his devotees more, or will the devotees serve Krishna more? When Krishna was on this earth, nobody could conquer him in battle. Against Jarasandha, he fought, he won 17 times. No one could conquer Krishna in beauty. He was the most beautiful. No one could conquer him in wealth. Nobody can conquer him in renunciation. In Krishna's incarnation as Narayana Rishi, Indra tried to conquer him. He thought, this sage, he's doing too many austerities. He may take my position as Indra. So Indra sent Cupid. Indra said, Vayu, spring personified, Apsaras, they danced in front of the Rishi. But the Rishi did not pay any attention. And when the demigods and Apsaras saw this, they were trembling with fear. Because what happens when you offend the Rishi gets angry and curses you. But what did Narayana Rishi do? He said, welcome to my ashram. Please accept some presents from me. And then he showed so many beautiful ladies, much more beautiful than those Apsaras. He said, take one of them. Be my guest. Take one of these ladies. She will be the ornament of heaven. And so Krishna, in all his forms, he has these qualities. Quality of renunciation. Krishna had that quality. He left the gopis in the middle of the rasa dance. But Prabhupada says the gyanis and yogis, they cannot conquer Krishna. They get angry when people disturb their austerities. In fact, in 11th canto, it says that the gyanis and yogis drown in small puddles of anger, and so they cannot be successful in their process. But the devotees, because they conquer Krishna, they can do the impossible things, just like Prabhupada. He conquered Krishna. So he was able to conquer us by his love. And that's why we did anything for Prabhupada, because he loved us, he conquered us by his love. So how can the devotees conquer Krishna? It says in the purport here, it gives us some ideas if you want to conquer Krishna. First of all, you have to do pure devotional service without any material motives. And your service has to be without break. In any condition, you have to continue that service. Then you can conquer Krishna. Arjuna, he conquered Krishna. One time, Prabhupada was giving a class in South India, I think Hyderabad, and when Bhagavad Gita class, and after the class, one Indian gentleman raised his hand, he said, I think Arjuna is not a pure devotee. Because he heard the whole Bhagavad Gita. Gita says you shouldn't lament for the living or dead. But when his son Abhimanyu died, he was lamenting. He's not a pure devotee. He didn't listen to Krishna's instruction. But what did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, no, it's natural if your son dies, it's natural to lament. But the proof that he's a pure devotee is that he didn't give up his service. He didn't say, oh, my son died, I quit. I quit the battle. No, he kept fighting, and he fought even more vigorously the next day. And so the devotee and Krishna have a competition. They try to see who will glorify the other the most. Queen Kunti, in her prayers, she said, Kechidahur acham jatam punya sloka shakirtaye. That why Krishna comes here? He comes here just to glorify his devotees. That's why Krishna comes. Some say he comes here to glorify his devotees. Punya sloka shakirtaye. So the devotees are called Punya Shloka. They're very, very pious. Krishna is called Uttama Shloka. He's praised by prayer. So again, the competition is there. So Prabhupada said, Krishna comes to glorify Devaki, to become her son. When he comes as a son of Yashoda, he comes to glorify Yashoda. He was conquered by Arjuna, beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra. Who was the Lord and who was the servant? Arjuna. Arjuna ordered Krishna, please place my chariot between the two armies. So who was the master and who was the servant? Krishna was the servant. Arjuna was the master. Or so it seemed. Of course, then Arjuna got bewildered and he accepted Krishna as the master. And he accepted his instructions. So there is a competition. Ananta Shesha, since the beginning of creation, he's trying to glorify Krishna with his thousands of heads. But so far, he hasn't found the end of Krishna's glories. Lord Brahma in his prayers in the 10th canto says that one day the scientists may be able to count all the atoms of the earth, or they might be able to count the rays of the sun, or they might be able to count the snowflakes. You know why counting snowflakes is important? Because each snowflake is different from the other. No two snowflakes are the same. So, but they will not be able to count the qualities of Krishna. So Ananta Shesha has failed in the competition to glorify Krishna. He's still trying to win, but he's very difficult. And Krishna has failed in the competition with the gopis. He's conquered by the gopis. Of course, Krishna conquered them first, but then he said, I cannot repay you. In Bhagavad Gita, he promises, whoever surrenders to me, I will reward them accordingly. But with the gopis, he said, I can't repay you. You have conquered me. You have outdone me. I cannot do what you... Of course, then he tried to. He came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just to repay the gopis. So we might be interested how we can conquer Krishna. There is a process. And the process is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Adi Lila, chapter 1, near around verse 100 or so. That Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahoditao Gaudadai Pushpavantao Chitao Shandao Tamonudao. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda have appeared just like the sun and moon on the horizon of Bengal, just to distribute Krishna consciousness, pure devotional service, and to eradicate the darkness of the ignorance. So Krishnadas Kaviraj says, well, the sun also eradicates the darkness, but that is only external. Pots and plates, Krishnadas Kaviraj says. You can see your pots and plates when the sun rises. But when Gaurani Thai come, they take away the darkness of the innermost core of our heart. So what happens after Gaurani Thai come in our heart? They show us the two kinds of Bhagavatas, Book Bhagavat and Devotee Bhagavat. Then, if we serve the two Bhagavatas, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, then we get bhakti. And what happens after we get bhakti? We conquer Krishna. So that's the process. It's open for all of us. We have to worship Gaurani Thai, chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and serve the two Bhagavatas, and we can get bhakti. If we hear attentively Srimad Bhagavatam, then we will get bhakti. And the second verse of Bhagavatam, it is said, Sadyo hridyudate takritibi shushushubi stakshanat. That if you hear Bhagavatam submissively and attentively, then you will capture the Lord in the heart at once. Doesn't take long time. So, again, in Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma's prayers, he also says how to conquer Krishna. There is a verse 10.14.3. Gyane prayasamadapasyanamante eva. Okay, you have some knowledge. Forget whatever you know. That's the first step. Forget whatever you've learned, mundane speculation, all this material nonsense. Just forget it. Then jivanti samakaritam bhavadiya vartam. Hear the words of the pure devotees. They're just like flowing rivers, very pleasing, very charming, and very purifying. sthanestita shutikatam tanuvam anobhir. And you don't have to change your position. You can stay at whatever position you are. And with body, mind, and words, you should worship the narrations of the great devotees. And what will happen if you do this, if you follow this process? Ye prayaso citta citto prasitais cilokyam. Again, citta citto. Krishna is unconquerable, you will conquer him. Just by hearing Bhagavatam. Very simple process. So, I will give some examples of devotees who have conquered Krishna. One example is Maharaj Yudhisthira. When Krishna was leaving Hastinapur after the battle of Kurukshetra on his way to Dwaraka, he heard the prayers of Queen Kunti, but still he didn't stop from his journey. He went inside the palace to say farewell to the queens. But when he went inside the palace, Yudhisthira came to him and said, please stay for a few more days. Now, what made Krishna change his decision? Premna. Prabhupada says, there's a verse that says, Premna, he had love of Krishna. That could stop Krishna. That could change Krishna's decision. So, a lot of times, we hear nowadays, and when Prabhupada was here, they were talking about the next war that's supposed to come. What will happen to us? Prabhupada said, just chant Hare Krishna and you'll be okay. But Prabhupada also did say that if we do enough book distribution, we do enough Harinam, then we can stop the war. And he said, and this movement will go down in history as saving the world in its darkest hour. And so Krishna can change, everything can change by love, by prema, by chanting the holy name. So Yudhisthira, he changed Krishna's decision. If we become a devotee of Krishna, we can change Krishna's decision. We can change our lives. And so another one who was favored, who conquered Krishna, was Prahlad Maharaj. They tried to kill him in so many ways. His own father, he's only a little boy. How can he protect himself? But when Krishna came, it's described in Brihadbhagavatamrita, he put Prahlad on his lap. And he was hugging him and caressing him just like a mother. And he didn't pay any attention to Lakshmi and all the demigods who were nearby. He just took care of Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad conquered. Prahlad conquered the Lord by his dependence, by his remembrance of the Lord. So Prabhupada also conquered Krishna. When he was on the boat going to America, he had two heart attacks. And that would be enough to finish anyone. I mean, one's enough to say, okay, that's it. No more. But he had a dream that Krishna was rowing the boat in all his incarnations. Jai Gonitai. Jai Krishna Balaram. Jai Radhisham Sundar. Lalita Vishaka. So, Krishna, he says in Bhagavatam, because I serve my devotees, my lotus feet have become so sacred, they immediately wipe out all sin. And so he's giving the credit to his devotees. His lotus feet are so pure and sacred. He says, because I serve my devotees, that's why. And I have acquired such a disposition that Lakshmi does not leave me, even though I have no attachment for her, and others praise her beauty. So, Prabhupada says the relationship between the Lord and the devotee is so beautiful. The devotee thinks it's because I'm a devotee of Krishna, then I get the good qualities. And Krishna thinks, oh, because of my devotion to my servant, I'm getting all the good qualities. So again, the competition is coming out. Who can serve the other one the more? And who's going to win the competition? You would think Krishna, he has... Prabhupada says, with his 10 hands, he can give you much more than you can accept with your 2 hands. But actually, sometimes Krishna loses the competition, and he likes when he loses. He doesn't always like to be the great Ishwara. He also likes when his devotees conquer him, when he has to carry Shridham on his shoulders, when he has to carry his father's shoes. And it says that his consorts, here Prabhupada talks about the gopis, when the demigods are offering Vedic hymns to Krishna, when he hears Radharani or the gopis reproach him, it takes his mind away from the Vedic prayers. And so this is Krishna. He's always anxious to serve the devotee. And if he has some quality of greatness, it's due to the devotee, because he's a servant. So how can we conquer Krishna? We have some ideas here. We've given you some ideas. The first thing is that we must make our relationship with Krishna. We must mend our relationship with Krishna. We all have a relationship. Why should we have a relationship with Krishna? Why not so many people in this world? Why should we have a relationship with Krishna? Because we have one. That's why. First of all, we have an eternal relationship, but we've forgotten it. And also, we should have a relationship with Krishna because he is Satchidananda. He's eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. And so are we. We are also eternal, full of bliss and knowledge when we connect with Krishna, when we connect in our relationship with Krishna. Krishna is there before the creation. He's there during the creation. He's there after. And guess what? So are we. Because we're eternal. We're not meant to suffer in this material world, and we're suffering just because we're away from Krishna. We have to be with Krishna. We have to make our relationship with Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Janaka Janani Daito Tanai Prabhu Guru Patituhu Sarvamai. You are my father. You are my mother. You are my dearly beloved. And you are my son. You are my master, my guru, my husband. You are everything to me. So we cannot be satisfied in any other relationship except for Krishna, because Krishna has all the qualities we're looking for in a relationship. Whatever we're looking for, Krishna has them. And something very special, Sanatana Goswami has said in a purport in Bhagavatam, that for each and every one of the infinitesimal living entities, Krishna has a special quality to attract. For each and every one of us, there's a special quality that Krishna has that will attract us to him. So you have to find out what that quality is for you. There's a very special one just for you. And that's the challenge of our life, to figure out what that quality is and what our service is to him also. So Krishna, we should have a relationship with Krishna because he gives himself fully. He'll give himself fully to us. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava Gita, in the 11th canto, at the end of Uddhava Gita, Krishna says that the devotees are the most clever and the most intelligent. Why are devotees most intelligent and clever? Because they trade in this useless body, which is not worth anything, old, sick, so many problems. They trade in this useless body for Krishna. Krishna gives himself. So isn't that a good idea? You all want to trade in your useless body for Krishna? How to do that? How to trade in your body? By using body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. So this is, let's see, somewhere here. Oh yeah, here it is. Sananda Goswami has explained the words tanu, vama, nobi, body, mind, and words, in three ways. So devotees, through their body, words, and mind, they can conquer Krishna. They become perfect in Krishna consciousness. They touch his lotus feet with their hands, call him to come with their words, and attain his direct audience in their mind simply by thinking of him. So that's how we can engage body, mind, and words. Think of Krishna, touch his lotus feet, call him when we chant the holy name. Srila Prabhupada said we should chant like a child crying for its mother, and then Krishna will come. And we should chant with the prayer, please accept me. Please accept me in your service. And when we chant very nicely and attentively, Krishna will come. And Krishna will say, please accept me. Please accept me. And so Krishna may sometimes come, but we're not open to his coming. We have to be receptive. Krishna is reality. We are reality. The holy name is reality, the only reality. So we chant, then we make our relationship with Krishna. I was just seeing Sachinandan Swami. He just wrote a very nice realization that when we keep on chanting and we think, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Then one day Krishna will come and he'll say, here I am, here I am. And so we're waiting for that day to come. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sarvatmasnaparam param vijayate Shri Krishna sankirtanam. So this sankirtan, this harinam, is very, very powerful. When I was traveling in Europe this year, I heard one story. This was in Scandinavia. That one, because when they go on harinam in Sweden, they engage the people. They go and they grab people. You're just walking down the street and they'll just grab someone and bring them in to dance and even lead the kirtan. Or someone passes the devotees by, they'll grab him by the shoulders and start dancing behind him. Or else if people are eating in the restaurant, they'll wave to them. So the people will wave back to the harinam. It's quite an interactive harinam in Sweden. So there's a story about one person who was a sinful person. He had a near-death experience. He went to Yamaraj, and they were listing all his sinful activities. And then Yamaraj said, anything good this person did? They said, oh yes, he waved to the Harinam party. And the whole court of Yamaraj offered obeisances. Yamaraj said, how many times did he wave? He said, four times. So Yamaraj said to the person, okay, if I send you back to your body, what will you do? He said, I'll become a Hare Krishna devotee. So he sent him back. And he became a Hare Krishna devotee. So, yeah, we need to somehow or other make a little relation. Just wave at the Harinam party or say a few mantras. Krishna is counting them. He's our accountant. He is counting how many times we chant the holy name, how many times, how many mouthfuls of prasadam we eat, how many steps we take to come to the temple. It's going in our spiritual bank account. And when our bank account is mature, we can purchase Krishna. So let us try. Let us make our relationship with Krishna. Trade in our useless bodies for Krishna, who gives himself with all his beautiful jewels and everything. And let's make our relationship with Krishna and chant Hare Krishna. Stop here. Any questions? Comments? Yes? Yes. I can't hear you. Can you? Translation. Part of? Flowery birds. Of the Vedas? Flowery words of the Vedas. I didn't get that from the translation or the purport. Prabhupada says Krishna is conquered by the devotees. Translation, yeah. It emphasizes on devotees. You are causelessly merciful to your devotees who desire no material profit from you. Indeed, you give yourself to them. Different categories of devotees. Well, Prabhupada said in the purport, Ahaituki apratihata devotee. One devotee who has no material motives and whose service is not broken in any material circumstance. This is what is being described. This type of devotee is being described in this verse here. That Prabhupada quotes in the purport, we have to understand through the eyes, through the words of Prabhupada, what kind of devotee. So it's the first class devotee. But of course, there is a beautiful purport in the first canto, 18th chapter, that says, if you are chanting under the direction of a pure devotee, then you are chanting offenselessly. So if we take the instruction of the pure devotee and we take it to heart and we follow it, then we can also get the mercy of Krishna. Mercy of some, Krishna can change his mind about us. He may take us sooner, he may take us later. He may give us, so how, what is it, what is the symptom when you are conquered by the, when Krishna is conquered by the devotee? Prabhupada says what the symptom is here in this purport. That when you conquer Krishna, Krishna gives you all opportunities for service. So when you get all opportunities for service, that means that's you. You're getting the mercy. You're getting the mercy of Krishna. That's the kind of devotee who will conquer Krishna. He gets, and Prabhupada, as we could see in Prabhupada, he got all opportunities for service. He went with nothing, empty-handed, well, except for some books, to America. And he got the whole world under his control within a few years. Within a few years, Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. So Prabhupada is such a devotee. But Prabhupada also empowered us to do the service. And if you get, so when you actually get all opportunities for service, that means you're on the way. You're on the way to conquering Krishna, according to Prabhupada here. That is the type of devotee. That is the symptom of a person who has the mercy of Krishna. Any other? Yes? Vishakapriya? Oh. Okay, no problem. Yeah, and then two in the back. We have time. So when you chant Hare Krishna, we get services. I really can't hear. Sorry. My ear's bad. One ear's gone. Can you repeat it? Can you hear it? I can't. I couldn't understand the question. Sorry. Can you understand it? Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, while we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're praying for service. And but while we're chanting, we might notice some service we could do that might distract us from our chanting. And so there is a time and a place for everything. In japa time, we pray for service, and then the rest of the day, we do the service. That's how Prabhupada trained us. Finish your rounds before your day begins. And that's a, and then you can note it, okay, there is some service I have to do, and you make some time later in the day and you do the service. But the japa is also service. And japa is when you're having your relationship with Krishna, your quality time with Krishna. So you don't want to interrupt your meeting with Krishna. Of course, in emergency you do. And one thing I noticed, if you're a temple devotee and you chant in the temple, your japa, the temple commander might come and interrupt your japa. But anyway, yeah. And so, common sense. Vishakapriya? Yeah, I can't hear also. No. Can you turn this?
I will try.
Okay. Yeah, my ears are limited. Better. Better.
You were explaining where the Maharaji Yudhishthira was asking Krishna to bring in the moment in Hastinapura. But in Kunti,
yeah.
It's great, was so famous. She was not able to have that power.
Queen Kunti couldn't stop Krishna from going. I can't explain that. Krishna is independent. Why he didn't listen to Kunti, and why he listened to Kunti, and he smiled and he pacified her. At the end it says he smiled and he pacified her, and it seemed like he wasn't listening to her. But actually, I feel that her prayers also had something to do with it. That Yudhisthira and then Kunti also. Yudhisthira kind of put the final thing on it. Okay, Yudhisthira too, I have to stay. I would say that her prayers did have some effect. But then Krishna said no. Then he heard his devotees calling in Dwarka, because his devotees calling here, calling there. And then, okay, no, I should go to Dwarka. But then Yudhisthira stopped him. And so then that was it. I also had that question. Yeah. Okay. In the back. These are the last two questions. You might have... I think that's it. You have to come up. You have to come forward.
In the purpose of the Prabhupada says, pure devotees never deviate from devotional service under any circumstances. Happiness and distress do not hamper the process of devotional service.
Right.
But practically speaking, in our small devotional service, I see that my mind is disturbed or body is sick. It does reflect in my in the consciousness of the service. So is it that the devotion is not enough, or
well, it's a gradual process. It's a gradual process, and every time we get sick, when we have an accident or something, that's a test from Krishna for the final exam. The final exam will come, and the test is: so now I'm sick. What service can I do for Krishna? So you need to find out what is the lesson. Many devotees get sick, and they don't stop. They're chanting. That we had one devotee living in MVT. Her name was Nanda. And she never, she always tried. She couldn't even sometimes lift her hand, but she was always hearing, chanting, trying her best. So somehow or other, we need to see, what service can I do in this condition for Krishna? And the more you practice, then the easier it'll become. Lakshmimoni? Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, it was a negative. Oh, yeah, Kunti was saying, don't go. And Yudhisthira was saying, please stay. Okay, so that's very specific. And it was positive. She was kind of negative. And he was very positive. Oh, that's really good. Thank you for that. He was saying, please stay. Actually, it's inauspicious if someone's going on a trip and you say, don't go. It's not, so don't do that. You can say, please stay. Thank you for that. Any other questions? Okay, Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.